This morning, God's Word comes to us from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, we're going to be reading the first 10 verses of this chapter. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn once again to the back section of the Psalter hymnal, this time to page 30 in the back section. This is Lord's Day 23. This morning, we will read questions 59, 60, and 61. I will read the question. You may respond with the answer. From page 30, Lord's Day 23, question 59. "What good does it do you, however, to believe all this?" How are you right with God?
Only by your faith in Jesus Christ, even though my conscience
Why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God? Well, last week we finished up our study of the basic truths of the Christian faith that are found in the Apostles' Creed, this fundamental confession of every believer. And this morning we come in the catechism to, I think, what is one of my catechism students' favorite questions to ask. And that is, what good is all of this? In catechism class, we go Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and we memorize Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and sometimes they ask the question, what good does it do? That's the same question the authors of the catechism ask. What good does it do you, however, to believe these things? We spent the last 4 months talking about the basic beliefs of the Christian faith. Has it been a waste? What good is it to believe all these things? And the answer comes back very simply. In Christ, I am right with God and heir to life everlasting. How are you right? By true faith in Jesus. What good does it do to believe? What good does it do to have faith? By believing, we are right with God and we are heirs to eternal life. The blessings for believing all the truths of the Christian faith are not only for this life, they are for the life to come. By that faith which embraces all this wonderful teaching, we are right with God. We are heirs to life everlasting. This morning we look at Lord's Day 23, one of the really good Lord's Days in the Heidelberg Catechism. It's a Lord's Day which talks about being saved. It's as simple as that. It talks about our justification. Now, if you've been reading Christian periodicals lately, you know that the doctrine of justification continues to come under fire. The doctrine of justification continues to be challenged today. Our churches will be meeting as a synod next month, Lord willing. We have a study committee report dealing with the doctrine of justification. It tries to summarize some of the issues that are being disputed. While it is a good report and perhaps a helpful report, without trying to disparage those who wrote the report, if we want a good summary of what justification is, we could go to Lord's Day 23. How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by God's grace through faith. And if you wanted an even better summary of the doctrine of justification, simply go to Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul so beautifully and so clearly, in verse 8 and 9, says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Sin and grace and faith and works. All the components of our understanding of salvation. All the pieces that we have to be instructed on and believe that we might know the joys of eternal life. Paul puts them together so beautifully here in Ephesians chapter 2. This morning, we're going to talk about sin and about grace and about faith, and next Sunday morning, Lord willing, about works as well. I read an article not so long ago that said, believers really shouldn't refer to themselves as sinners anymore because we were forgiven by Christ. Don't you believe Christ really forgave you? Why would you refer to yourself as a sinner? We sang this morning, "I am evil, born in sin." Is that proper for the child of God? Knowing our redemption, knowing what Christ has done, is it proper to sing, "I am evil, born in sin"? See, the problem when people say we shouldn't think of ourselves as sinners anymore, we shouldn't refer to ourselves as evil, born in sin, they are not clear enough in what they mean, or not clear enough in the distinctions we have to make. When we talk about our sin, we have to distinguish between our condition and our state. Now, Turwin, that's kind of a hard thing to get a handle on, our condition and our state. Let me give you an example if I can. Maybe some of you had grandparents who came here from a different country. Maybe some of them came from the Netherlands. And when they were in the Netherlands, they were in their condition and in their state, Netherlanders. They were Dutchmen, through and through. And then some chose to come to this country. And they chose to become United States citizens. Now, in their hearts, in their condition, they're still Dutchmen. They still speak with a brogue. They still love the Queen. They're still as stubborn as all get out. They're still Dutchmen inside. But their status, their state has changed to being United States citizens. Their condition is Dutch. Their status, U.S. citizens. Maybe that helps us to get a handle on how we see ourselves with regard to our sin. Paul begins in chapter 2, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." You were dead, Paul says. That is the condition everyone outside of Christ finds themselves in. In fact, that is the condition we got from our first father, Adam. Now, Adam was created perfect. Adam was created in condition and in state righteous, like someone in the Netherlands living in the Netherlands. He was in condition and state righteous. He was made perfect by God. He was declared to be a very good creation. His condition and state were both righteous. But Adam chose to leave that. Adam chose, through his own willful disobedience, to plunge himself into sin. And when Adam chose to disobey God, he became, in condition and in state, dead in transgressions and sins. God said, "In the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will surely die." A spiritual death took place, and Adam, in condition and in state, became dead. And that condition and state were passed on to every one of Adam's descendants. That's why Paul says, "And you were dead because of your forefather Adam, because of what he had done, because a child looks like his father, and Adam bore children that looked just like him in condition and state." That's why our confession says that my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and never having kept any of them, and I am still inclined toward all evil. That's the sinful condition we find ourselves in. That's the sinful condition and state Paul talks about also in Romans chapter 3. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. They have together become worthless. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is the sinful condition in state of everyone outside of Jesus Christ, which is why Paul says in verse 3, "Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Children of wrath. To see ourselves properly, that is our condition, that is our state outside of Jesus Christ. By nature, hating God. By nature, hating our neighbor. By nature, children of wrath. The condition for everyone. Everyone who is a descendant of Adam outside of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on, saying that God didn't leave us like that, fallen, dead, in condition and state. Verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." God, in His love and mercy, chose not to leave us in that dead condition and state. But God, because of His great love, chose to give us righteousness. God, because of His love for us. Like the love that a father has for his child. Fathers will do anything for their children within their power. They will give up anything within their power for their children. God, because of His great love for us, didn't leave us in that fallen, sinful condition and state. God, who is rich in mercy, Paul says, compassionate, concerned. God was not obligated to do anything for us. Man had, through his own willful choice, changed his condition and state from righteous to unrighteous, from alive to dead in sin. And God owed us nothing. We did not have a claim on God simply because of His mercy. Because of His compassion, He chose to show us grace. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God made us alive in Jesus Christ. We call that grace. Now, I don't know when I first heard this. I'm sure it was a long time ago. Children, maybe you'll remember this. What is grace? What I learned a long time ago was grace is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's a good thing to remember, children. We have a righteousness now, but it comes to us at the expense of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ also had a condition and state. And before His incarnation, He was, in condition and in state, completely perfect. He was true and eternal God. But He submitted Himself to the will of the Father, Christ's expense. He came down to earth and was crucified on a cross, and His condition and state changed as well. His condition remained perfect. He had done no sins, nothing wrong. But His status was now one condemned by God. All the sinfulness of God's people placed upon Him. And God no longer saw Him as perfect, but saw all of our sins laid upon Him. His state changed. His condition remained absolutely pristine. But His state became one that bore the sins of all of His people. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin. That's a change of state. And because Christ's state changed, so did ours. Our condition remained the same. We still are fallen and sinful. We still commit offenses against God. We still sin every day. Our condition hasn't changed. But our state has. God, when He looks at us now, doesn't see us as those fallen, sinful people, but He sees us because of what Christ has done at Christ's expense. He sees us as righteous. God's riches, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Our confession says, "Nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ." As if I'd never sinned or been a sinner, as if I'd been perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. The language is a change of state. As if I was perfectly obedient, as if I wasn't a sinner. I know I still am. My condition is still fallen and sinful. My condition is still unrighteous. But God, because of His great love, God, because of His great mercy, God, because of the work of Christ, now sees me as perfectly righteous, as if I had never sinned or been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. The blessing of salvation, the blessing of justification, a change in our status, a change in God's declaration toward us, now seeing us as righteous in Christ. How do we go from this sinful status to this righteous status? Our confession says, all I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. All I need to do is believe it. All I need to do is to accept this gift. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. God gives us the gift of faith. God gives us this gift by which we can embrace all these truths. He gives us this gift by which we can believe these things are true, and they are true for me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. God gives us faith that we may embrace the glories of salvation. Faith is a gift. I think faith is always a gift. It's something that's given to us. If someone wants you to put their faith in them, they try to do things that encourage you, try to do things to make you believe them. If a salesman wants to sell you his product, he will tell you all the great things about it to instill faith in that product. Faith is a gift we receive. And God Himself gives us a gift. A gift that is backed not with the words of a salesman, but a gift that is back with His own word, what He has done for His people in the past. How God has always, always, always been faithful to His chosen ones. How God has never let anything happen outside of His holy will. How God is always continuing to work out the blessings He has in store for us. How God is there to discipline us at times when we need that as well. God is always faithful. God demonstrates His faithfulness again and again and again. And all He says is, believe in me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. Why do you say, by faith alone, you are right with God? Not because of the value of my faith. Only Christ can make me right with God. But I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Faith is all we have to do. Faith is everything we have to do. I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. God calls us to place our faith in Him. Faith is a gift given to us by God. But it's a gift given to us that we might exercise. A gift given to us that we might use. That we might take the glorious truth of the Scripture and embrace them and say, not only do I know them, but I believe them. They are mine. I believe that Adam was in condition and state, dead in trespasses and sins, and I was too. But I believe also that God, who is rich in mercy, God, because of His great love with which He loved us, has given me righteousness
at Christ's expense. I believe in Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. When we talk about salvation, when we talk about justification, we don't need a synodical study committee report. We don't even need Lord's Day 23, as clear and as good as that is. We simply need God's words of the gospel. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We simply need to hear and to believe the words of the gospel. You've heard it again this morning. You've heard about your sinful condition and state outside of Jesus Christ. The question is, do you believe? Do you believe that God did what He said He did? That God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be an offering of sin on our behalf? That God changed His state that He might change our state from sinner to righteous? All you need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. May God give us the gift of faith, and by His Spirit have us exercise that faith in Him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your Word, a Word which is clear, a Word which teaches us the truth we need to know, and a Word that You use by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to faith. Oh, we confess, O God, our sins. We know that our conscience still accuses us. We know we have still grievously sinned against all Your commands, never having kept them, and we are still inclined toward all evil in our condition. But we praise You for the work of Jesus Christ, who gave up His glorious condition and state that we might have life. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places. Lord our God, may we truly appreciate the glories of salvation, appreciate the beauty of the gospel, and not only know this truth, but embrace this truth as our own, and know for certain the glories of salvation. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.